are going to go, that looks terrible. You probably wouldn't, okay? You would. I wouldn't. Or they go and get a haircut and the hair's all nicely done up. And they say, what do you think? Your natural response is going to be, if you want tea that night, it's fantastic. I don't think there's too many guys who go, that is horrible. You wouldn't say that. But the truth is this, that inside everybody, there's a thinking mechanism. You all have an opinion. In fact, if I asked your opinion on something, I would probably get 160 different answers. Because we've all got a thinking process. And our thinking process has been developed by time, by experiences. Romans 12:2, which is our verse we've been looking at on the topic of, so what do you think? And it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, how about we read that together and see if we can get that into our minds? Are you ready? See if we can read it together. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, you got that? Because that's what we're talking about. What is this thinking that Paul in Romans wants us to change? Because he wants us to renew our minds. So we looked at a number of things. The first thing we looked at was the word conform. And do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. We all live in this world. And whether you like it or not, the world shapes who we are. It shapes what we think. It shapes our responses. The media, as you know, controls a lot of our thinking. Our families, our experiences, they control our inner thinking. We know that. Everybody tells you that. What you think has been molded, has been shaped by the way that we've lived. I could have a look at you now and look at the way you're dressing. And most of your fashion has been conformed or has been set by your thinking pattern. If you were in a different country, you might be wearing something totally different. Your hairstyles, if you have a choice, is shaped. Ladies will go to the shop and look at the magazines to see which one they would like. I don't know. I've never been to one. So I don't know, but I guess. But we are shaped by this world. We're shaped by the things that happen. And you see, our thinking, as we discovered a few weeks ago, our thinking is really important because what you think determines how you feel, and how you feel will always impact your behaviour or your actions. See, I could say to you and teach you a whole heap of stuff and it can go into your mind. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what you think. You see, your behaviour, your actions is a greater reflection. I could teach you how to tithe and you could go, yes, Steve, yes, Steve, yes, Steve. But if you don't tithe, I would suggest to you that your thinking has already determined whether you will or whether you won't. So it's not information, but your thinking. Deep down, your beliefs, your values in the world, the concepts of life determine how you live. And so what the scripture here and what Paul is saying is, renew your thinking. And be transformed. So we looked at being conformed. And then last week, we looked at being transformed. What does it mean to be transformed? And as you know, the word transformed, which is metaheo or something like that, which is where we get metamorphosis, which again is the idea of something changing into something else. So a caterpillar that changes into a butterfly. And we had our great youth pastor, and the mad professor did a great example for us last week of seeing when you put two different things or a number of things together, you get a change. When you put chemicals together, there's a change. And just like a caterpillar who has a hidden destiny that comes out and becomes a butterfly, it doesn't sit there and go, I've got to change, I've got to change, I've got to change. It's going to be a natural response. And when you become a Christian, it's like putting chemicals together. You actually have a change within. That's why it's people who give their life to Jesus, they're reborn. And people go, you look different. Something's different about you. You go, is it? There's something that has been transformed. And it happens supernaturally. Some people don't like that. They will say, oh, no. You've got to make it happen. Well, that's true. You do. But there's the other side too. You see, because the scripture talks about the Spirit and the Word. There's twofold. And there's a supernatural changing. There's a changing, we call it the fruits of the Spirit. That when the Spirit's within you, there's a natural response of that fruit. Fruits you don't make happen. Fruits are a reflection of what's actually happening inside. And so when you become a Christian, there is a natural transformation going on. But then we want to look this week at the other side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is the word to be renewed. What does it mean to be renewed? And how do you actually renew your thinking? As we said, sometimes being born again isn't enough. I can be born again in the Spirit, but I still have the same habits. I still have the same responses. I still get niggly. I still get argumentative. I still got all these things happening, but I've been born again. And we sweep it under the carpet and pretend it's not happening, and then we live hypocritical lives. We say one thing, but we do something else. Why? Because being born again is one thing, but renewing the mind is another. And the renewing of our lives is what Paul puts onto us and says we need to look at renewing who we are. Someone gave me an article last Sunday and I read it and I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. It actually looked at the first message of Jesus. The first thing Jesus said, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The first word that Jesus said, the first message he gave, was recorded by Matthew, who says, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the first thing that's recorded that Jesus was preaching. Repent. Which is interesting, because if you go back one chapter, you find that John the Baptist was preaching same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is at hand. You see, the word repent, we sometimes put that as saying, well, I'm sorry. Change my ways. Try and do things differently. Sometimes we put repentance as this concept of just being sorry for what I've done. Has that person repented of it? Well, they said sorry, okay. But you see, the word repent there, actually, if you take it to its original meaning, means to change your thinking. So the first thing Jesus is saying, he comes to the earth, he's been baptized, he's now a rabbi of authority, he's now speaking from a place where people are coming to learn what this rabbi has to say, and he says, rethink, rethink. And boy, did he make them rethink. He made them rethink about their concepts of the Sabbath. He made them rethink about healing. He made them to think differently about what it meant to care for those who were hungry. He made them rethink about their attitudes towards children. He made them rethink so many things. He stirred up their thinking. Jesus came in and he said, rethink. In other words, repent, change. And our challenge today is that although you become a Christian, it's not just being a Christian, that gets you your ticket to heaven, but it's about rethinking, thinking differently. Change your thinking. Let me give you an example. I want you all to imagine for a moment, right? Just think for a moment. Your car, you've got a brand new car, right? If you haven't got a license set, I've just given you a license, okay? You've just got a license, here's your license, you can all drive now, right? Now, think about the car you really want. Not the car you got, it's a brand new car, I've just given you some money, you've gone down the shop and you've brought the car you've always wanted. Right? Now, I know Mike Reed over here has just bought himself a nice red Ferrari, let's see, Margie's probably got a new Barina, but you think of the car that you want, right? You got it? You've got your car. What have you got? A Hummer! We've got a Hummer in the back. Okay, there, you've got your car. Imagine thinking, right? You've got this car. You've got the keys. You're sitting in the car. Smell the plastic. Or the leather. It depends on what type of car you got. It's all brand new. It's beautiful. It's clean. It's sparkling. You're sitting in your car. What are you thinking as you're sitting in this car? Get rid of the guilt for a minute, okay? You're sitting in the car. Think what you're feeling right now. Oh, this is actually rather nice. The seats, the radio works. It's great. And you're driving down the road. And because you're loving this car so much, you're probably thinking, drive carefully. And you're driving down the road. It's smooth. Everyone's looking. Driving down the road. Okay, you got that? You imagining it? Got it in your mind? Think. Feel. Driving down the road. All of a sudden, there's this lady, beaten up old car, comes shooting out of a side street. It's a give way sign, but she's in a rush. She shoots out in front of you. You have to put your brakes on the first time you've used them. And this car has driven out in front of you. What are you thinking right now? What's going through your mind? Insurance? Did I insure it? What else is going through your mind? Another Volvo driver! What else is going through your mind? What's going through your mind right now? Your thoughts? What's going through your mind? Come on. What's that? Not the car, but the car! It cost me so much! What are you feeling? What are you feeling right now? Anger? You feel angry? Panic? What are you thinking about the person in the car that just showed out in front of you? The stupid old lady! Doesn't she know what she's doing?
You might have been a stupid old man.
Sorry? What was that?
You might have been a stupid old man.
No, he wouldn't think that. No. You've got to change your thinking. It might have been a silly old man. Okay. I nearly wrecked my car. Okay. You've got that feeling. You've got that thought. Now, just like in the movies, freeze frame. Everything stopped. Now we're going to take you out of the car. And you're going to come around the front. And you look in the window of the car in front. You've probably been pretty angry. In the former life, you may have waved with a couple of fingers missing. And you've come out, and you look in the window, and there's this lady. Just an ordinary, everyday lady, but you can see her eyes are red. Her cheeks are wet. She has a child sitting in the passenger seat who's not well. He's got blood coming down on his face. And not looking good at all. And you suddenly realise this lady was rushing to the hospital. Tell me, what are you thinking now? Guilt? What are you thinking now? Sorry? See what I can do to help. Panic. Sorry? Take the car. I'm still angry. He's still angry. Well, we're talking about you later. That's the one. But isn't it interesting how your thinking and your feelings change from anger to one of sorrow, of pity, of wanting to help? And all of a sudden, the action when your thinking was, you're going to damage my car, Your actions are one of anger and wanting to call the police and get her having a ticket. To now, when you find out the circumstance, your thinking is, how can we get that child to the hospital? And your actions is you've forgotten about your car now. You see how our thinking changes. What changed our thinking? What are the things that changed our thinking?
What we value.
What we value, yep. What else?
What we saw.
What you saw. You saw something. You saw someone else's distress, yeah. You took yourself from one position and you put yourself in another position and you changed the way you saw stuff. See, the scripture, there's an old Turkish belief. Well, first of all, here's a statement for you. Changing your thinking could change your world. You see, the world when my car was about me was one thing, but when I changed my thinking, all of a sudden my whole world has just changed. Change your thinking, you can change your world. A Turkish belief, an old proverb that the Turks would always quote, was the devil tempts all other men, but the idle man tempts the devil. What do you think that's saying? What does that say in relation to changing the way we think? What's it saying? Yeah. You see, if we stay in one position, the devil will always, always have an open door to come in and do something. But when you move yourself, when you are active in trying to change the way you think, the devil has to tempt you. But if you're idle and just allow yourself to travel in world and just pick up everything, he doesn't have to worry about it because you're a temptation to him. He can just keep feeding you. He can keep putting more stuff in. When we decide to move in our minds, when we decide to look at changing our minds, something happens. First of all, they were in a different place. The prodigal son was an example of this. Prodigal son leaves his father's house. He moves to another place. He's in the pig pen and he's sitting there. His thinking back here was, I want to live and take all my rights. But once he was in the pig pen and he had shifted, his thinking started to change. And he had a change of thought that took him back to the father's house. There needs to be a change of thought to take us back. There needs to be a change of positioning. See, Jesus said this. He said, repent for what? The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, here's the kingdom of God. And he's saying, the kingdom of God's there, so change your thinking because of the kingdom of God. It's a little bit like this. Young man is at home. He has learned to live in this home and he has a messy red bedroom. Everything's just dropped on the floor. Some people are recognizing this already. Dropped on the floor. He wears his boots in the house that have just been in the mud. He sits and watches TV and he puts his boots up on the table. He argues with everybody. He is just not a good person, but that's the way he used to live in that house. And he comes to stay at your place for the weekend. And he does the same thing. And the comment would probably be something like, we don't do that around here. That's not the way this place operates. You see, you've walked from this way of thinking in the world, and now you're going into a new house that thinks differently. So Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God, God's house is here. Rethink, because in God's house, we don't do it that way. In God's house, we do it this way. And so the challenge for us is repositioning ourselves into God's house. It's realigning my thinking with the King's thinking. It's realigning my view with God's view. So it's no longer looking at myself, but it's looking at others. Because in my house, says God, we don't look at self, we look at others. You see, it's no longer saying, well, I haven't got enough time. Because in God's house, he says, you've got plenty of time to do the things I've asked you to do. Over here, it says, I haven't got enough resources. Over here, God says, in my house, in my kingdom, you got to think differently. Because my God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and I will provide everything you need. You see, over here, we say, it's all about me. In God's house, it's all about him. You see, it's a different way of thinking. You can be born again, but in his kingdom, we need to think differently. It's a different position. The other thing is this, just my last thought for you. And this is probably the main one. Is in renewing our minds. It's not just about repositioning our thinking into the kingdom of God's thinking. It's also about what I put in. You see, what you put in something is what you get out of it. This is a bottle of water. It's had water put in it. What's going to come out of it? Water. Coffee doesn't come out of it because I haven't put coffee in it. It's going to be water. And that's the same thing with you and me. What am I putting in my life will determine my thinking. And so what I put in is what's going to determine the way I think. If you want to think differently, then start putting different things in. We put the things of the world into our minds. God says, put the things of the kingdom into your mind. You've got to think differently. Scripture goes like this. Hebrews 4:12. Have a look at this scripture. Meditate on this scripture during the week. It goes, for the word of God, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God needs to go in us because it's alive. You see, it describes it as a knife. What does a knife do? A knife goes in and it goes deep because it's sharp. I see so many Christians, and myself is probably one of them. We go to courses, we look at scripture, we get excited about books we read, we discover new ideas. And the new ideas stay in the head. And we go and tell everybody about our ideas that we've discovered. Did you know what the Bible says this? And did you know the Bible says that? And I went to this course and I discovered this. And yet what I discover and what I see is our lives aren't changing. Why? Because you see, the word isn't going deep within me. Because to get a mindset change, it's got to go beyond just the knowledge and it's got to become part of the heart. It's got to become part of what I believe. It's got to become part of my action. So it's more than just reading the Bible. It's more than just memorizing. It's more than just coming up with concepts. But it's allowing the word of God, which in this case, the word means this, because this is the written word of God, but it's also the prophetic word. It's also the words that are spoken and sermons that God just takes and goes deep within you. And you go, that's the word of God. I want it to go inside me, so that it renews my thinking and hence actions change. If someone says, oh, I believe in this, and yet they're not doing it, it hasn't gone deep and it hasn't changed the thinking. Our thinking needs to be changed. It has to go in deep. Occupy your mind with the truth of the enemy. Sorry, occupy your mind with the truth, or the enemy will fill it with lies. Don't leave it unoccupied. Great little statement I found this week. Occupy your mind. Because if it's not occupied, other things will occupy it. What are you occupying your mind with? Do you go sit down and just read scripture? Not because I have to because it's religious. Not because I'm told I want to get through it in a year. But because I want to take the word and I want to put it into me. At our staff meetings there, we just read chapters of the Bible together in our devotion time. Just read it. In our Bible study, we're just reading the Bible. And we're allowing the word to go in. Because as the word goes in, not just to our memory, but inside, believing that we'll see some actions and some changes. It's a renewing of our minds. But notice this. It says that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. Now what happens? Two-edged sword. Imagine this for a moment. It's a sword. It's got two edges because it's a two-edged sword. Is that good? Right. So this sword, if that went into you and it's dividing, what does it do? Someone's taken a sword and they've put it into you right down to the bone. What happens? Sorry? It hurts. It does. It hurts. What else happens? You start to bleed. Get your attention. So what was that? It divides things. Part of your body stops working. I've seen TV, right? And I've seen movies. And when someone gets a knife or a dagger or a sword and puts it into somebody real deep, they die! Now this isn't talking about a scalpel. It's talking about a sword that goes in and divides. Here's a truth that I believe I read out of that as I was meditating on it. That the word of God goes in. Things have to die so that the new rethinking can come in. You can't add your thinking on top of false thinking. Things have to die. And that's why I think so often we hear great concepts. We read books, we go to courses, we learn all these great theories and we try and add them on top of, rather than allowing things of the past which are wrong thinkings to die so new thinking can come in. You hearing what I'm saying? Is I believe that the word of God wants to go into us, but to go into us, things have to die. Did not Jesus say that? That for something new to grow, something has to die? Isn't that what trials and tribulations are all about? Things dying so new things could come? Isn't that what happens in a bushfire when there's a place is burnt down and new things grow up? In our lives, if we're going to change our thinking, which changes our actions, which changes our lives, I believe some things have to die. Peter was there on the roof one day. He was hungry in the Bible, not Peter here. He was hungry. He was starving. He was waiting for them to cook dinner. And he's up on the roof. And as he's up there, it says he fell into some sort of trance or sleep. And as he's there, a blanket, a big sheet comes down. And on it were all the foods you're not supposed to eat. They were on that blanket. And he hears the Lord say to him, "Eat it." He was struggling because his thinking said, "You're not allowed to do that." But the word of God was saying, "Eat." Peter's going, "I'm hungry, but that's wrong." But the word of God was saying, "Eat it." And what he discovered, that the things that God sees as holy might be different to what we do. He had to change his thinking. A thought pattern had to change before he could grasp a new one. Can I encourage you today, as we grow in our relationship with God, as we allow the kingdom of God thinking to become part of our thinking, that we would renew our minds, that causes a transformation, that we might discover, as Pete Atak will tell you next week, we'll discover the perfect will of God is only when we allow him to change the way we think. To rethink means I have to let go of that which I already think, to allow God to put in a new frame of reference. Are you reading the Word of God and allowing it not just to go into your heads, but to go into your hearts? Are you discovering when you read that there is some false thinking that you've had that you need to say, "I'm going to let that go and let that die so I can take on a new frame of thinking"? In our lives, when we say, "I can't," but the Word of God says, "You can." I've got to let go of the wrong thinking. When the old thinking says that you've got to be You've got to work hard to get to the kingdom of God. And yet God says, the way to the kingdom is through the Son. I've got to change my thinking. Close your eyes. Ask the team to come up for a moment. Father, as we've got our eyes closed right now, we invite you to renew our minds by first revealing to us those areas of our thinking which are incorrect, and that we would make a choice to start putting your thoughts and your ideas. Father, would you give us a hunger in this place, a real hunger for your word, that we will allow your word, which is sharp, to go deep, that would show us our intents, that would show us our thoughts, that would show us those wrong ways that we've been thinking, and that we would choose to rethink, to repent. And I'm going to pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would just move in this place. Where there's been some wrong thinking that I've grabbed hold of. Thinking about what the Father God is like. Would you reveal your true thinking? Where there's false thinking about who I am. Where there's false thinking about even the work of the Holy Spirit. Where there's been false thinking about the kingdom of God. Where there's been false thinking that I've allowed to come in because I've been dormant. I've just been sitting there allowing other thoughts just to take root in me. Father, would you forgive me? Would you forgive us? Would you take us back to your word? And I'm praying that the word of God would truly cut deep within us. There'd be a real freedom of new life in this place. Freedom of new life in you. A confidence, God, in our relationship with you. And I'm going to invite you now, Holy Spirit, if you want to do work in this place, if there's just a touch of your love on people's lives you want to do, just please do that. We thank you again, God, for your amazing love. Amen.